Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. I'm going to read it to you. You ready? It's going to be quick. Thou shalt not steal. Any questions? I looked at that, looked up, looked at that again. I'm just letting you into my life, that's all. And I'm going to say, Lord, you've got a sense of humor. I had a conversation with God. I poured out my heart to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know that you led me to preach this series. I can talk about stealing for about 3 minutes, but Lord, I don't know what you have in mind for me to preach on for 30 minutes. Why would you say something like this? Why would you include that? You shall not steal in your 10 commandments. The Encouraging
Word. That unique voice that began the broadcast moments ago is Dr. Don Wilton. And this is The Encouraging Word, based on the Bible itself, God's Encouraging Word, and the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. In just a few minutes, we'll be headed to chapter 10, actually chapter 20 of Exodus, about one blessing. That's the topic for today, one blessing. And as we seek those blessings of God and seek to be a blessing to others, know that we're here for you. We're praying together right now at 866-899-WORD. If you've got a prayer request, we'd love to pray with you and for you. That's 866-899-9673. Or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Father, we're coming into your presence today, worshiping you in the beauty of your holiness and calling out in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would speak to our heart. And Father, we come to you today with our lives. We come individually, each one of us. We come uniquely created, wonderfully made. We come to you, Lord, ourselves, each one of us. Yes, we are calling upon your name together, believers everywhere. But how special to know that we can have a personal relationship with you. Every individual one of us, every person. Lord, right now, there are people who just are looking for meaning. Someone right now is looking for hope. Someone right now who, Lord, is tired of the battle. Someone right now who's going through deep waters. Someone right now who's going through a hard, terrible divorce. Someone right now, Lord, who's been diagnosed with cancer. Someone right now who's lost a loved one and their hearts are broken. Someone right now who's lost. Someone right now who needs to be forgiven. Someone right now who knows that they have sinned before you. Lord Jesus, right now, reveal yourself to that person. May your spirit speak. May that person see that invitation from the top of the mountain that you invite each one of us from the valley down below to live up to the power of 10, to climb onto the mountaintop and to hear you speak. We want you to speak. We want to hear from you. We believe in this word. This is God's word. It's not our word. This is God's word. We want you to speak through your word and by your spirit. So Lord Jesus, thank you for a time like this. And we are praying right now that people everywhere are going to give their hearts to you. That there are going to be so many today who are going to trust you as Savior and Lord. Going to receive complete forgiveness. Have their names written in God's book in heaven. Now, this moment, thank you, Lord Jesus, for people worshiping by way of television. Lord, we're asking you to speak to us. There are no barriers for you. No wall can keep you out. No sin can keep you away because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sin. And Lord, I pray right now that people would repent of their sin and call on your name and confess to you and receive you into their heart and life right now. So Lord, we're about to open your book, the Bible, and you're going to speak to us through your word. We are listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. I want to let you in on a little secret today. This has been an incredible study together. Just a wonderful, wonderful study on the Ten Commandments, living to the power of ten. So I'm going to let you into a secret. When I got to this commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, I'm going to read it to you. You ready? It's going to be quick. Thou shalt not steal. Any questions? I looked at that, looked up, looked at that again. I'm just letting you into my life, that's all. And I'm going to say, Lord, you've got a sense of humor. I had a conversation with God. I poured out my heart to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know that you led me to preach this series. I can talk about stealing for about 3 minutes, but Lord, I don't know what you have in mind for me to preach on for 30 minutes. Why would you say something like this? Why would you include that? You shall not steal in your Ten Commandments. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that stealing is not a terrible thing. But why would God have used stealing as one of only 10 commandments that he gave? And then God began to speak to me. And before I'd gotten through, I realized I needed at least 10 weeks to get through this. I'm just kidding you. I want you to listen today. I believe that there are many, many people who are robbing God, and you may be one of them. Do you know, until you give your heart and life to Jesus, you are stealing from God, because God loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that he sent his only son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross for you and for me, for every person. And as long as you refuse him, you rob from God the most precious gift that God could ever give to you. And that's the gift of life. And in robbing God, you end up robbing yourself. When you rob God, when you take from God that which God gives to you, you end up robbing yourself. Some today might look at me and say to me, Pastor, I have spent many years trying to find meaning in life. Perhaps because it's you're robbing God. You haven't turned your life over to him. Only he can forgive you for your sin. As long as you turn him down, as long as you turn your back on him, as long as you refuse to repent of your sin, and as long as you refuse to confess before him, you rob yourself, because you're going to live an unforgiven life. You need to be set free. And Jesus will do that. I want to invite you to trust him. Thou shalt not steal. I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. Just want to give to you one illustration in the Bible that God had in mind. This illustration is a dramatic account, and it has to do with stealing something that does not belong. Just going to read a few verses, 1 Kings chapter 21. Now Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard in Jezreel. By the way, can I just say this? The valley of Jezreel is what we call today the valley of Armageddon. I'm going to Israel at the end of December, December the 30th of this coming year. If you want to come with me, you need to get on with it and sign up and come with me to Israel. I go every year, as you know. I've been to Naboth's vineyard. Many of you who have gone with me, it's on the Galilee side of Armageddon, on the Jordan side of Armageddon, it's over on the Jordan toward the Jordan River. That's what he's talking about here. And he said, in the vineyard of Jezreel, beside the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And after this, Ahab said to Naboth, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it's near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. And Ahab went into his house, vexed and sullen, because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. And he said, I will not give the inheritance of my father. So Ahab lay down on his bed and turned his face away and pouted. I thought I'd just put that in there. I think we all understand that. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why are you pouting, big boy? And he said to her, because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and I said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it please you, I'll give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give you my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said to him, what is the matter with you, boy? You can have anything you want. Do you now govern Israel? Arise and eat bread and let your heart be cheerful, and I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Go down to verse 13. I wish I could read this whole story to you. And the two worthless men, I love that statement, the two worthless men came in and sat opposite him, and the worthless men brought a charge against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. So they took Naboth outside the city, and they stoned him to death with stones. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and he is dead. And as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, big boy, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And as soon as Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he arose, went down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, and he took possession of it. Now just flip over to verse 20. I just want to show you where this led. Verse 20. God's servant Elijah got to hear about this theft, this stealing, and God gave a word to God's servant. And Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? He answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. Now this is not good, so just listen. I will utterly burn you up, and I will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel, the partner in this theft, the Lord also said, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dog shall eat, and anyone who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat. God said, do not steal. Remember that everything that God spoke from the mountaintop had as its root a specific design. It was to demonstrate to people that the relationship that we have with Him is the relationship that we have for one another. And the manner with which we relate to one another is in direct proportion to the relationship that we have with Him.
That's Dr. Don Wilton, and there's so much more to come on today's edition of The Encouraging Word. But right now, Dr. Don wants me to remind you we are connecting. Matter of fact, we're connecting in a number of different ways. If you'd like to speak with someone, have someone pray with you and for you, call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 9673. I pray you jot it down or store it in your cell as a resource. We would be happy to be your prayer support anytime, day or night, 2 a.m. Friends, if you need them, we are here for you. 866-899-9673. Or meet us keyboard to keyboard online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Right there, you can sign up for our daily email. One of the most remarkable things is every day, thousands, actually tens of thousands of people are connecting with God's encouraging word through this email every single day from Dr. Don. If you'd like to sign up, you can do it on our website, theencouragingword.org. Or if you'd like, just text the word daily right now to 30500. That's one word, daily, to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, you'll receive that wonderful encouraging word from Dr. Wilton via email every day. Again, that's daily to 30500. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
And the manner with which we relate to one another is in direct proportion to the relationship that we have with him. And so we have one of our favorite verses when Jesus said, "By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Why is love a reflection of our relationship with God? Because God is love. And he loves us. He loves us so much that he gave his only son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us upon a cross that we might have life. When we receive God through Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, we receive his love. And so it is that we must love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There is a horizontal and vertical relationship. And God said, "Thou shalt not steal." The greatest blessing, perhaps, that God has given to us, created by God, is the blessing of our individual uniqueness. Did you know that you are very, very uniquely special? We're all together, but the all-togetherness of our all-together is each one of us individually. God has made us uniquely in his sight. And Jesus Christ died for us individually and uniquely, not collectively. Collectively, we become part of the family of God. Individually, we respond to the Spirit of God, who is the only one who can convict us of our sin. And in response to him, recognizing our own unrighteousness, we repent of our sin, confess that sin, and trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Salvation is the work of God in Christ alone. And we are coming to him alone, individually and uniquely. You are very special in God's economy. Every single one of us. And God has given to each one of us abilities and potential and giftedness. Don't spend your life trying to steal from other people in order to make yourself something that God never intended for you to be. Stealing is taking something that is not yours. When we think about how God made us, this uniqueness, this unique person, each one of us, you and me, handcrafted. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 139. He said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The word there carries with it the idea of an intricate, minute detail. We are handcrafted, each one of us. This is not a mass production. We're not part of a convoy. God wants us to know how special we are, and we are created with a specific purpose to have fellowship one-on-one with God our Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, God has given to each one of us a bill of rights. Did you know that? So I just want to give to you God's bill of rights. to every person today. And in understanding God's Bill of Rights, you and I are going to come to a clear understanding of what it means to rob God and rob ourselves. The first of those Bill of Rights is the right to belong. God has given to all of us the right to belong, to be part of something together with others. Secondly, He's given us the right to relate. That little word to relate is very important. It draws its nourishment from the word relationship. From time to time, people may come up to you and to me and say, you know, there's one thing that I love about you, and that is that you're very religious. I want to make an announcement today that I'm not religious. Religion is the belief in anything or anyone. You can be religious about anything in the universe. I'm not religious. I have a personal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. That's why I want to invite you to give your life to Christ. You can come to know Him personally because He died for you personally. This is God's Bill of Rights, the right to belong, the right to relate. But He's given us a third right, and that is the right to own. The Bible is resplendent with that. The Bible tells us clearly we have the right to own property. We have rights within marriage. Some people may recoil at this concept, but marriage is ultimate ownership. It's two people coming together saying, I want you to know I've fallen in love with you, and I'm going to give you the right to own me, and you're going to give me the right to own you. By the way, people often come to me and say to me, are we going to be married in heaven? I want you to know the Bible says we're not going to be married in heaven. Did I hear an amen come from someone out there? We're not going to be married in heaven. By the way, do you know why we're not going to be married in heaven? We're not going to be married in heaven because there's no need for ownership. There's no more individual possessiveness. That is a human trait, and God recognizes that. That's why when God created Adam, He put Adam on the earth, and Adam looked around, and God said to him, listen, man, I've given you all of these things. Look at the beautiful trees, and look at all the animals. And Adam was never satisfied. And then God created woman and brought her to him, and she complimented him. Marriage is a complementary relationship where two people complement one another, the two halves, so to speak, which are wholes in their own individual uniqueness, become one beautiful whole, man and woman, in the eyes of God. The right to belong and the right to relate and the right to own. God didn't give us this Bill of Rights designed to make us self-serving, or to design it as a self-serving mechanism, but rather it was God's means of blessing man's God-given need to belong and to relate and to own. And if you go back into ancient times, you're going to find out that stealing is any form, any activity associated with taking from anyone or anything in order to change God's perfect manner, His perfect plan, His perfect design of His perfect Bill of Rights for each one of us individually and uniquely. We're living in a great pressure cooker. I hope that you do everything you can to make yourself healthy and to look good. But God made you as you are. You are the most precious who you are as you are.
Forgive the interruption. Dr. Don will be back with a couple of more thoughts in just a moment. But isn't it exciting to see how in the middle of this message on one blessing, we're studying this these next 2 days in the book of Exodus, but God wants to speak to us not just emotionally and spiritually, but also physically, teaching us the real way to live out our life as followers of Christ. And speaking of following Christ, before we get away, here's a word from Dr. Don.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now.
Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If the Lord has spoken to you today through the pastor, whether it be in those moments just a few seconds ago in the studio or as he was preaching today, I pray that you would not let this particular day, this particular Monday, finish without making that decision plain. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you. Maybe the Lord has stirred some questions that need answers. Together, we'll go to God's encouraging word, the Bible itself, and discover those because they apply to each and every one of us. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And I assure you that I'm one of those, and we take very seriously the opportunity we have to speak with you and pray with you. We are called to be a part of that support network that you and I need. We all need people in our corner to pray us through the situations and circumstances. So perhaps the very most important decision that you'll make this week is the decision to pick up the phone and call, and let's talk through what God's doing in your life. Let us put resources in your hand that will help you grow deeper in God's encouraging word, so that as your root system gets deeper, your fruit system gets better. You bear fruit for Jesus. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And speaking of encouragers, a closing thought from Dr. Wilton is next.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager.
The number Dr. Wilton's talking about is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. First and foremost to pray, but also to welcome you to become encouragers, prayer supporters, and financial supporters of the ministry of Dr. Don Wilton and the Encouraging Word. Let's hear from you. 866-899-9673, or connect with us online at theencouragingword.org. Till tomorrow, as we continue this one blessing message, may you have a blessed Monday.